Y'all tired of 1 John yet? We hadn't even got to the good stuff yet. Wait till we get to the 3rd chapter. What I want to do first, I want to read all the verses, because this passage is a little bit confusing if we're not careful. It's talking about all sorts of different ages of people. And I want to put it together in a way that makes sense to us. So let's start out with verse 12 through 14 of the first chapter of 1 John, second chapter of 1 John. Once again, I will make my disclaimer. What you see on the screen is not what you'll find in your Bible. I can tell you that, because that is from my translation and my notes. I want to give you the thought behind what they were speaking, and sometimes the translations don't do that. Is my translation perfect? No, it's not, and Danny Hill can tell you that. That's who taught me. But it's not going to change any meanings. It's going to give you probably more information. He says, "I am writing to you all, my dear children, because he has forgiven and continues to forgive you all the sins through his name. I am writing to you all fathers, because you have shown and continue to know, you have known and continue to know him from the beginning. I am writing to you all young men, because you have overcame and continue to overcome the wicked one. I wrote to you all children, because you have known and continue to know that the Father. I wrote to you all fathers, because you have all known and continue to know the one from the beginning." Now, when I went to put this sermon together, I had to put my thinking cap on. What is he trying to say? He's addressing three groups of people: young children, young men, and old men. By the way, that goes for women too. He's talking about all of us. He is addressing here the people of their church by various levels of their spiritual growth. He's not talking about age. And you say, well, why did he basically say the same thing two times? Well, he didn't quite say the same thing two times, but it's pretty close. But he did it for repetition. He wanted to impress upon them what he's trying to do. He says, "I'm writing this right now so that you will grow." Grow in what? Body? No, we don't have trouble with that, do we? Even when we're grown. He's wanting them to grow spiritually. So how do we know? And the question is, and this is actually the third test here, how do we actually know if we know God? I mean, really know him in fellowship, which is what he's talking about. He's not talking about a relationship. My relationship to God will always be the same, but my fellowship with God can change and does change. And sin causes that change. Me walking in light or walking in darkness causes me to be in or out of fellowship with God. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I'll ask this again at the end. Do you remember your spiritual growth? I mean, look back from the time you're saved. Do you remember your spiritual growth? Do you remember how you've grown in Christ from the beginning of your conversion? Do you remember how God helped you grow throughout your life? I want you to realize something. There are a couple of things that a plant needs to grow. One of it's water. What's the other thing? Light, sunlight. A plant needs to have sunlight in order to grow. You cannot grow if you are walking in darkness. You have the water of life, but you can't grow if you're walking in darkness. away from the fellowship of God. The person who truly knows God, is in fellowship with Him, will remember his spiritual growth. He has a spiritual growth to remember. In the church, in God's family, there are various stages of growth spiritually. Some are newborn babes. They have never grown, even though they've been saved for many, many years. There are those who are young men who have come through the trials of their spiritual, the battles of their spiritual growth, and says they overcome the wicked one. We'll figure out who the wicked one is in a minute. And then there's the older men, mature men, who is giving guidance to the rest through their spiritual growth. And so the question is, and will be, as a test, who are you? What stage are you at in your spiritual growth? And are you continuing to grow? Or are you regressing? That's the question. This is a message that no matter how weak or strong the believer is, it applies to us. Because we should never, ever stop growing spiritually. Right? Have we gotten to the point where we say, okay, I'm exactly where God wants me to be spiritually, and so I'm through growing? Besides being totally unscriptural, that's just not true. If you're not growing, you're doing what? You're sliding, you're backsliding. So the first part of this, I want to address as a spiritual child. Are you a spiritual child? And so since there's two parts of verses about spiritual children, we're going to look at both of them together. And so I'm going to try to eliminate confusion. In verse 12, it says, I am writing to you all, my dear children, because He has forgiven and continues to forgive you all the sins through His name. In verse 14, He says this, I wrote to you all children because you have known and continue to know the Father. Now you're saying, well, what is this deal about continue to forgive and continue to know? It's called a perfect. And what that means is, it is an action that has happened in the past and still has effect even today. So when He says, my dear children, because He has forgiven, at one point He forgave you, and guess what He still does? He continues to forgive. Thank God for that, right? I mean, that's important. They knew God, and they continue to know God. All right? These are little children. People who have just received Jesus Christ and they've just begun to follow Him. And so if you're a newborn Christian, remember this. It's very, very important that you remember this. Your sins have been forgiven. You say, well, Brother Randy, I knew that. No. We don't act like it sometimes. We have to realize that even just because someone has accepted Christ as their Savior, they're a saved child of God, the body still sins. God still will forgive. Well, I didn't think I could be a Christian and still sin like this. Yes. That's what little babies do. Until they grow up and they begin to understand and control their own impulses and control their urges, they sin. They make mistakes. And what do we do as parents? We forgive them. And we correct them and try to bring them up. And it's very important that if you're a spiritual baby today, whether you should be or not, you find yourself in that position, you need to remember He has forgiven your sins. And what does that implicate? That implicates one thing. It implicates that there are those who come to know Christ as their Savior. They sin and they think, oh, I messed up and I'm no longer saved. That's not what it's saying here, is it? You need to remember that you're a saved child of God and He is able and willing to forgive. You're no longer guilty of sin. You'll no longer be judged for sin. You'll no longer be condemned for sin. No longer to be punished for sin. Now, you'll have consequences to it. But the punishment for sin is death. That punishment is no longer on the table. You see, you've trusted Jesus Christ as the bearer of your sins. You believe that Jesus Christ took your sins upon Himself and bore the condemnation and punishment for us. You believe for our sins. You believe that Jesus Christ became the substitute in bearing the judgment for your sins. Therefore, you are cleansed. Your sins are forgiven. There'll be no more guilt because He took all that away. Because of what Christ has done through His name, God has forgiven our sins. And the point is this. All believers must remember that their sins are forgiven. But young believers, young children in the faith in particular, must remember this. If you're a young believer, you have just recently left the world and its pleasures and its possessions, and you're more likely to forget what Christ has done for you. You need to concentrate. Focus on Jesus Christ, upon the glorious fact that He has forgiven your sins. You must guard against returning to the world and its enticements. You're going to make mistakes. Little kids make mistakes. We don't throw them away and say, "I don't want you no more." We help them. We love them. We correct them. And that's what God wants us to do. But too often, young people in the faith, they will take and there'll be a setback in their life. They'll make mistakes in their life and they'll turn away and walk into the darkness because that's what they know. It's not. They got to remember. We got to remember. Christ has washed away our sins. We are no longer held eternally accountable for them. And so, yeah, they're going to mess up. Yes, you are too. But just remember one thing. He forgives us and continues to forgive. Young believers know this. Therefore, they have come to God through Jesus Christ. They have experienced the privilege of adoption. They now know God is their Father. And young believers also need to remember something else. This glorious truth that God is their Father. I think we forget. I think young people forget too. They forget who their real Father is. They must come to God day by day as their Father, and they must bring their needs to Him. They must trust Him to look after them. Ask and depend upon Him to teach them. Trust Him to discipline them when they need it. Study Him and study His Word and listen to do what He says. They need to fellowship and commune with Him, love Him, and receive His love, and do nothing that would shame Him, and share with others what a wonderful Father He is. As a young believer, that's important that we do these things. Because you know what it does? It helps us grow. It's a very volatile time for someone who has just accepted Christ as their Savior. It's very difficult at camp. When I'm dealing with a young person, whether it's one of our groups or someone else, and they accept Christ as their Savior. Because I don't know what they're going home to. I don't know what they're facing. I don't know if their faith, that faith that they have, will ever mature into anything, because quite honestly, they're living in darkness. It's surrounding them all around. And sometimes I think it happens to us the same way. So the question I ask is, are you a spiritual child? Has your spiritual growth been stunted? And if you've been a child, spiritual child all your life, you never really matured into the Christian walk, you know, the Christian person, that mature Christian person that Christ wants you to be and God wants you to be, well, then I'm going to suggest you do one thing. You fail the test. Now, I'm not talking about a new Christian. I'm talking about someone who's been a Christian for a long time. How can you be in fellowship with God and not grow? It's a very good question, isn't it? How can you be in fellowship with God and not grow? So, are you a spiritual person, a man, an adult? Are you a spiritual adult? Everybody would like to think that they're a spiritual adult, wouldn't we? Nobody wants to be compared with a baby or a little child. Paul didn't have that problem. John doesn't have this problem either. He says in verse 13, I am writing to you all young men, because you overcame and you continue to overcome the wicked one. Verse 14 says, I am writing to you all young men, because you have overcame and continue to overcome the wicked one. Basically the exact same thing. So what is he trying to tell them? There are young men, which represent mature believers in the church. They got to remember how far they've come and what they've overcome to become that. It is not easy to become a mature child of God, because there's going to be a lot of obstacles. There are going to be a lot of things that get in the way of becoming that. And one of them is that wicked one that it says there. They fought a long battle, and now they've overcome the wicked one. The wicked one used to attack them left and right. There is nothing worse than being a spiritual teenager in this world. Guys, I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather take a beating than to go back in time and become a teenager again. It was horrible. The things that you're growing up, you know what's right and wrong, and the whole world is becoming open to you, and all of a sudden you're dealing with that, and you know that you're supposed to be doing this, and guess what? Not everybody wins the battles with the wicked one. Many of them just go, and it shows in our churches over several generations. Many people have maybe matured to a point, and then all of a sudden they lost the battle. So here they are in this church that he's writing to, and what is he doing? He's encouraging. For those who are spiritually mature, he says, I know you've been attacked with every temptation imaginable, but especially with the sins that were so common before their conversion, the sins of evil and immoral thoughts, illicit affairs, looking and lusting, drunkenness, shoplifting, drugs, gossiping, backbiting, hate, stealing, lying, cheating, pride, arrogance, covetous, anger, greed, and the list goes on. All of those things were being tempted and tried at these folks. Believers who have walked faithfully with Christ over a long period of time have overcome a lot of those things. I am no longer tempted by those things that I was tempted at when I was a teenager, when I was a young man. Older I get, the less Satan tempts me on those things. But I have to remember the struggle. And that's what John is telling them. Remember the struggle. Remember where you came from. Remember when you was a baby and God took you up to this point, and then all of a sudden Satan just went crazy on me. Remember that. That difficult struggle. But you know what he wants you to remember most of all? How you overcame that battle. For Satan stays after the believer as long as he's on the earth. Satan doesn't bother me, doesn't stop bothering me simply because I'm a little bit older. He doesn't stop bothering me simply because I've surrendered to ministry and I have a hedge of protection around me. That just ain't true. So I have to remember how I've gotten to this point. I got to remember how I've overcome in the past, how God has made me stronger. The attacks were maybe not as often or as fierce, but he always attacks at your weakest point. And so you got to be on guard. The mature believer must remember how he overcame the wicked one and remember, continue to combat him in the Word. We can't take a vacation from Satan. I think there's a lot of folks who just did that. They got to a certain point. Well, I've been coming to church, I've been doing this, and I've been fighting. But you know what? It's time for me just to sow my wild oats since I didn't get to do it. It's time for me to just relax and quit fighting the battle. The battle is always going to be there. It's whether or not you just give up or not. So how do believers overcome Satan? How did we overcome Satan in a lot of areas? We overcome Satan, overcome by drawing near to God and praying for wisdom. By using God's Word, quoting in our minds to conquer the temptation. Learning and knowing that God allows temptation to teach endurance. By not yielding their bodies to sin. By clothing themselves with the armor of God. By being on guard and watching for the tempter's temptations. By submitting to God and resisting the devil. By walking with God in the light. Draw close to Him. I don't know if y'all have ever been bullied or picked on by someone bigger. But I guarantee you one thing. It's always helpful to have someone who's even bigger than them be by your side. Someone you can say, come on, help me fight this battle. Christians who are not walking close to God do not have Him to help fight Satan like you need to be. Mature believers need to remember that they're strong in Christ and be assured and have confidence in the strength they gain. Mature believers need to understand that when battles and trials and temptations and the storms of this life, when they come through, that we can say, God has got this and I'm going to survive this. I'm in His hands. You know why? Because we've been there before. We've done it before. That's a mature believer. And you can always tell the difference between a mature believer and a little child. The little child gets scared and says, I don't know what to do. And a mature believer will say, you just wait. God will take care of this. I'm going to put my trust and hope in Him. And you can tell whether or not you're a mature believer by just being that way. We're not scared of what Satan does to us anymore because we have proof that God will take care of us. That He will overcome for us. That He'll step up and say, leave him alone. Mature believers need to remember that the Word of God abides in them. And the key to spiritual growth and pleasing, securing the approval of God, no matter what a person may think or say, there is no spiritual growth away from God's Word. You want to grow spiritually, it's going to have to happen. You have to be fed by God's Word while you're walking in sunlight instead of the darkness. Those two elements. You have to be walking in the sunlight and partaking of His Word. I see a lot of Christians today who are stunted spiritually. They've come to a certain point, but they no longer read the Bible. They no longer attend church. They no longer do these things. And basically, they've let their life go into the darkness. And they wonder where God is. Well, God's still there. But because of the sin and because of the darkness, no longer can he be as close to us as he would like for us to be because of our sin. So maybe you find yourself in that position where you've matured, but you've just kind of struggled with it. But what about the next one? Let's look at it. Are you a spiritual father? This is a whole different level. This is a grandfather type of deal here. This is where you got the old guy, and he's sitting there, and the kids come up there, and let me tell you some wisdom, imparts wisdom to them. That's what we're talking about. Someone who's been fought all those battles all their life, and they got people looking at them and say, how do I get to be where you're at? Let's read the verses here and see what it says about it. I am writing to you all fathers, because you have known and continue to know him from the beginning. In verse 14 it says, I wrote to you all fathers because you all have known and continue to know the one from the beginning. Boom, boom. What does he say? Well, what he's saying is that they didn't give up. They never stopped growing. Were there times in their life when they realized that they were going backwards, they were walking in the dark, they weren't growing the way they needed to be, and they got it right, and they started growing? Spiritual fathers, believers who are spiritually mature with a deep and rich knowledge of God. What is the exhortation of these? They have walked so faithfully for so many years. Walk so faithfully. The exhortation is this: remember, you have known God from the very beginning of your conversion, and you have faithfully and diligently served him day by day. You have fed upon the Word of God. You have set aside time of prayer. You've learned to walk in prayer all day long. You've learned to fellowship and commune with God all day long. You've witnessed the saving power of God in your life, of Jesus Christ. You've been loyal to your church, its members, its mission, and its ministry. Committed your life to minister to the needs of those around you. And you've given all that you have to Christ, meeting the needs of the world. I'm reminded of what Paul said. I finished my race, finished my course. He says, I'm at the end of it now. Laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I have lived my life the way I'm supposed to do it. When you look, do y'all know somebody like that? Somebody who's lived their life just like that? Someone who's from the moment they were saved, they were continuing growing, and as they got older and couldn't do as much, they just were there as spiritual fathers for those coming up, those who were helping, those who stayed in church, those who did whatever was necessary to minister to everyone else. I've seen some folks that were long in the tooth that they were spiritual babies. I've seen a few people younger than me who are spiritual fathers. So it's not a matter of age. But you get the idea. Those who have grown. The spiritually mature have a rich and deep knowledge of God. They must remember how they grew and came to know the Father so well. They must remember how they gained such a deep and rich knowledge of God. They can't just stop. They'll stop growing. They must remember and stay focused upon the Father. And remember that that's the only true way a person can finish the Christian race. I want to finish my race on this earth just like that. I want to be there. I want to continue growing. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've done everything that I possibly could to please God and to please and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be able to say what Paul says, I have finished my race. I've finished the course. I am now ready to depart. I am ready. And he would have, but God had more things for him to do. And so what did he do? He just kept growing closer and closer to God. They've known God from the beginning. They must never be lifted up with pride, no matter how long they've been walked with God. Too many times, we forget. It's easy to do. When you've walked with God for so long and then you start taking things for granted and you stop reading, you stop studying, you stop praying because you're where you're supposed to be. You are never through with your growing spiritually. Never through. You know, God's been around from the beginning of time, much longer than the fathers of the faith. So no matter how deep and rich the believer's knowledge of God is, there's so much more to know. If you're not growing, you're not in fellowship. That's the message. And it doesn't matter if you're already, if you're just a little baby in Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a young man who's overcome all the odds and all the Satan's temptation. It doesn't matter if you're a mature believer who's been there, done that from the beginning. He is telling them, you need to walk in the light still, or you are not going to have fellowship with God. It's not how you begin. It's how you end. Say, Brother Randy, I've already messed all that up. I'm a spiritual baby, and guess what? You can still grow. Starting today. You say, Brother Randy, I've fought all those battles and I'm tired. I'm a mature Christian, but yeah, I'm ready to kind of let my life go a different direction for a while. Don't. You will never grow closer to God. You'll be out of fellowship. And as a mature believer, a mature father, in spiritual father, you'll say, I have done it all. Now I can coast and relax until the Lord comes and get me. No, he still wants you to work. He still wants you to mature. Because if you're not growing, you are not in fellowship with him. And that is the test. Do you remember your spiritual growth? Do you remember how you've grown in Christ and matured? Do you remember that from the beginning of your conversion? Do you remember how God has grown and matured and developed you in Christ? Can you remember? Can you look back at your life and see the main points of your life and see how God has used it, grew you, and then you matured from that and you grew? If you can't, I'm thinking you probably failed this test of whether or not you're walking in the light, or that you're in fellowship with him. You can know that you have fellowship with God. And one of the tests is this: are you growing spiritually, or are you just stalemating away? Trying to stay at the same level, but never growing. If you are in fellowship with God, walking in the light, you will grow closer to him. It's the only way. So that's the test. It's not easy, is it? I don't think that I've grown near as much as God wants me to grow. But I've determined that I don't want to stand still. That I don't want to be comfortable where I'm at. That I want to learn and I want to know and I want to grow as close to God as I possibly can. What kind of determination do you make? is your determination, I just want to get enough to sustain me. I want just to get enough to kind of keep me healthy. Well, I'm telling you, if you're not being fed upon the Word of God, you're not being healthy. If you're walking in darkness and committing all the sins of the world, you're not being healthy. You need to understand that if you're going to grow up and be spiritually healthy, you have to do these two things. You have to walk in the light, and you have to know His Word. It's your decision whether you grow or not. It's your decision whether or not you're going to. God will grow you. Now, we may have some growing pains along the way, but He will grow you. He will teach you. He will take you, and He will mold you, and He'll train you. He'll put you in a place to where you will thrive, and you will grow as much as you possibly want to. He wants you to be as close to Him as possible. He wants to have you. He wants mankind back. He wants mankind back to where in that garden in the cool of the eve, He wants to be able to walk with us in that garden again. That's how close He wants. And for us who are saved believers, guess what? That's possible. One day we'll get to walk with Him. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not even born spiritually. You'll never experience having a close fellowship with Him. Oh my. Can you imagine thinking that you're so close to God and never really truly been born again? Never experiencing His love, never experiencing His joy. Can I tell you something? You can change that today. Today you can change that. You know, say, Brother Randy, how can I change it? Well, here's how you can do it. Right now, I believe that if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as to your heart and your life, I believe He's speaking to your heart right now. He's telling you, you come to me. I want you to be mine. I want to take you into my family. I want to have joy and fellowship with you. I believe He's saying that. And if He's doing that right now, you know, it's really simple. I was able to speak to a young girl at camp, and she thought she was having a struggle. She says, I've talked to God, and I need to be saved, but it just don't save me. And she told me exactly what she was telling Him, and then she prayed, and I said, she opened her eyes, and she says, I just don't know. And I said, you know what you did, or what you didn't do? You told God how to be saved, but you never asked Him to save you. And so what you need to know now is not how to be saved, because the Spirit of God is asking you. All you've got to do is tell Him, yes, Lord, I want you to save me. Is it any different for us children of God when He starts speaking to our heart? When He starts saying, I want you to grow closer to me. I want you to become more than just a spiritual child. I want you to become a young man in Christ. And I want you to eventually become a mature believer of me, to grow that close. He said, I just don't know if I can do that. Just say yes. I'm thinking that He's burdening your heart about it right now. You're not where you need to be. I know I'm not. He's got more for me. He's got more for you. So why don't we just let Him take our lives and let Him grow? Why don't we start walking in the light? Why don't we start reading His Word and growing closer to Him and listening to what He has to say? That's not really that hard. It's just a matter of if you want to. So as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I do not know your heart. I do not know your life. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I'll tell you something. God is dealing with your heart. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Whatever it is. So will you tell Him yes this morning? As we sing this morning.